We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted for Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Now I want to call your attention to the emphasis of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was baptizing. He probably baptized more people in a short time than anybody in the history of the world. But John the Baptist was putting the emphasis not on baptism, but on Jesus Christ. Every true preacher of God that ever lives puts the emphasis there. He was a forerunner of Christ. And all the baptizing, all he did was a finger pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He recognized him. And then when he had some people near him, he said, "There's the Lamb of God." He pointed to Jesus. You know, preaching is not preaching unless it's Jesus Christ exalted. You know, I've been to services, and I've sometimes sat in churches where I couldn't see Jesus at all. Just couldn't see him. I told you about a sermon I heard preach one time, and an old country preacher said to me something I've never forgotten. This man was an eloquent man. He was a great orator. And he climbed up this stairway of eloquence. And I sat there as a boy with my mouth wide open. That sort of thing appealed to me as a young fellow. So when it was all over with, I turned around and said to an old preacher, I said, "That was an eloquent sermon, wasn't it?" This old preacher said, "Yes, it was so eloquent. I really had a hard time seeing Jesus here today." Do you know something? You can hide Jesus. You can hide him behind cathedral steeples and pipe organs. You can hide him behind statues, and you can find you hide him behind ceremonies. You can hide Jesus Christ. It's so easy. Now, our business as Christian workers is to witness for Christ. That's our job. Ye witnesses of me. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The measure of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in any service is a measure of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Now, you have no trouble finding out. You go to a service, and if Jesus Christ is highly exalted, you may rest assured the Holy Spirit's doing it. For the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came from heaven to earth to testify of Jesus. He shall testify of me. See? He witnesses for Christ. The Holy Spirit always speaks for Jesus. He never speaks for himself. He speaks of Jesus. Now, John the Baptist said, "There's the Lamb of God." And these two men looked at him and followed him. That was a great sermon. Short, wasn't it? Just a sentence. But it didn't have to be long because the issues were clear cut there. He said, "There's the Lamb of God." And they looked at him and they went along with him and said, "Where do you dwell? Where do you live?" He said, "Come and see. Come on, I'll show you." Do you want to know who Jesus is and where he lives? You want to know something about him? Well, just come along with him. Just come along with him. And did you know, to some extent, at least you'll become like him? I think I told you one time, it's in one of my sermons, about that old man and old woman I knew when I was a boy used to look like each other. I can see her now. She's a great big woman. She's a brunette. Her husband was a very small man, a blonde. And I was a boy preacher, not over 15 years old. And I was only meeting out there in the country church. And this dear old couple, just good old, solid country Christians. And I used to look at him and think of his wife. And I'd look at her and she'd somehow remind me of her husband. They didn't look alike, but they did look alike. But for 50 years, they'd been a long life's way together. They'd had lived there in their home many years, even that little house. They'd sat down and eat three times a day at the table together. They mixed and mingled, and Their lives had been blended together until she had something out of his life in her life. And he had something in his life out of the life of his wife. You know, if two human beings may commune till they become like each other, may not you and I commune with Jesus Christ until we at least to some extent become like him? Now Jesus said, come on, see, let's get acquainted. So they followed him in a boat with him. Now get the picture. A man pointed them to Jesus. What happened? One of them that John pointed to Jesus went and got his brother, Peter, Simon Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. He went and said, you know, now here's a good witness. We found the Messiah. He said, see, brother, we found the Messiah. Come on. He brought him to Jesus. And the man that preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost, that great sermon when there were 3,000 converts, was brought to Jesus by personal work, by his brother that went and brought him. Do you know, many women, that you can bring people to Jesus Christ? You don't have to worry about it. You can bring people to Christ. You mothers could lead your children to Jesus Christ. You could sit down with them and talk to them and read the Bible to them and explain to them. Jesus died for them and they can't save themselves. But if they'll trust Jesus, they can be saved. And you get them down on their knees and you could lead them to Jesus Christ. You know, if you just point to Jesus, just keep pointing to Jesus and talk about Jesus, you see. You know, it's a wonderful thing to just magnify him, exalt him, lift him up. He's not like anybody else. He's the world's only Savior. Isn't it wonderful we have a Savior? What could we do for ourselves? What could you do for yourself? Poor, weak, blundering, helpless person. What could you do for yourself? You couldn't do anything for yourself. All the religions of the world tell you do the best you can. That's all you can do. Well, the best you can do won't save you. It took the best that God could do. He sent his only begotten Son down from heaven to earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, nailed to a cross, shed his blood, God's Lamb. Oh, how precious Jesus was to him. Son of God, Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. You know, somebody said, I can understand how God could have died, but I can't understand how he could let his Son die. It takes greater love in a way to give your child than just to give yourself. There isn't a real father, a real mother talking to me now that wouldn't today rather die yourself than to give your child to die. I read the other day in the paper where some woman took her two little children and threw them out through a window, and somebody caught them and rescued them, and she stayed and burned to death. Couldn't save herself from them. She saved her children. Jesus Christ came heaven to earth and died on the cross to save you and me. And John stands there and says, behold the Lamb of God. You know, when you get my age, 71 years old, you begin to count up time. You know, at the best, you haven't got many years. See, might live 10 years. I might be active and even longer than that. I don't know. Not concerned about it. But you know, if I had to preach a sermon and then die right away, I'd want that sermon to be the exaltation of Christ. I feel always safe when I lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Now, he was talking about his death on the cross. This spake he, signifying the manner of death he should die. See, that's what he said about himself. If I be lifted up the ground of the cross. See, the devil tried to kill Jesus. The prophetic things of the Old Testament pointed to a cross, to Calvary, to the hilltop. All the pictures of agony and by crucifixion you'll find in the prophecy, like the 22nd Psalm. So they pointed that way. Now he said, if I be lifted up from the cross, earth to the cross, I have lifted up the ground, and he said, this is what he said, signifying his death. Now he's lifted up on the cross, God's Son, nailed to the cross. You know, God's going to settle with this old world someday. God has an account to settle. The blood of the Son of God is on the hands of the world. They tried to murder him. You know, I don't see how people can stand up and yell about the divinity of human nature. A generation rejected Christ, but you've been rejected, some of you. Oh, you haven't put him on the cross directly. but he's come to you with nail printed in his hands and wound his side. After 2,000 years, he walked up to you and said, won't you accept me? You said, no. No, I'm busy. I got other things to do. Don't talk about those people. Don't talk about the folks that said, let his blood be on our hands and on our children. Don't talk about them. What about you? You're rejecting him knowing what you're doing. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, but you know what you're doing. God loved you and Jesus died for you. And today I'd like to point you to the Lamb of God. I'm not John the Baptist. Jesus said, no greater place has ever born a woman than John the Baptist. But as an humble preacher of the gospel, I want to point you to Jesus. You know, you may be an ordinary man, but you can give an extraordinary message. You may be a plain, humble Christian, not have any eloquence, but you can lift up a great Savior. And our business is to lift him up. Our business is to see that he's recognized, to see that he's not shoved around. On all occasions, under all circumstances, we should exalt Jesus Christ. Out here at Bob Jones University, we try to do that. It doesn't matter what may be the occasion. It doesn't matter who is here. We try to lift him up. Salvation's in him, nowhere else. Jesus, the name high over all. There's only one Lamb of God, and that was Jesus Christ. John pointed to him. Have you pointed to him? And some people followed him, and one of them had followed him and brought his brother to him. Have you brought anybody to him? And this brother he brought to him was a preacher that preached on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people found God. Let's lift him up today. What do you say? Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Holy Spirit that came down from heaven to earth to testify of Christ, to tell us about him. For the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible, moved upon men to write the Word of God. And the Word of God magnifies Christ. Help us to magnify him. Help us to exalt him. Help us not to exalt anything above him. Help us to focus the attention on Jesus Christ. Keep us faithful to hear us in this prayer as we yield our lives to thee this morning. And give us wisdom and guidance and help from above in all the things we do this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.